You're listening to Fancy a Brew Podcast with Aaron and Lucy. Email us on fancyabrewpod@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for Fancy a Brew Pod.
Hello and welcome to Fancy a Brew. I'm Lucy and I'm here today with my lovely pal Aaron.
Hello.
We are again back in Aaron's bachelor pad.
I'm not that much of a diva. I don't insist that we have it every time at my flat. It just so happens that when you're here, we ended up recording podcasts.
That's it. And I think that's really good. We're ready. We've got our beverages. We've both got our squash.
Or cordial.
But it seems weird to me, like when I was a kid, it was diluted juice, which is not even a word or a term that anyone else uses.
We'd call it juice. So it'd be like, get yourself a bit of orange juice. Mm. I don't know why my mum's got a lisp. My mum's clearly not a gay man. Get yourself a bit of orange juice. You go in there and sort yourself out.
Treat yourself.
She doesn't sound like that at all. It's a lot different to that. Mm. Here we are. After squash chat.
Squash chat. Who loves it?
Cordial.
Cordial chat. Cordial conversations.
Yes.
There you go.
Fancy a cordial.
Lost the name for this one. what are we going to chat about this time? Aaron's got some news.
Aye.
Some big news that we'll come to.
Indeed.
And then I've been reading an interesting book that I wanted to talk to you about.
Nice.
Called Company of One.
Nice.
And a bit of a Brexit chat. Or a lack of education Brexit chat.
Okay. I mean, we may not have enough time, because that is my specialised subject. Okay.
And then, of course, something we learned.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And I think both of ours this time are quite, emotional.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've learned something about ourselves.
Indeed we have. I've learned a lot in the past couple of months.
Mm.
Some of it I like. Some of it I don't necessarily like about myself. But you know,
certainly been a time for self-reflection.
There's been a lot of reflection.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And not that new mirror that you've got. Sorry, that was a really awful joke.
No, I don't understand what you're talking.
Because you reflect in the mirror, don't you?
Oh, wow. Have I still got the subscription to that online sound effect place? I could put, like, a tumbleweed in at that point. Don't know what the sound of a tumbleweed would be like, but just okay. Like... I'm totally leaving that in, by the way. This is my turn to edit, but I'm going to leave that in.
Sorry about that.
I have
had
some life-changing decisions been made over the past month or so.
Do you want to take it away? Do you want to tell everyone?
Yeah, so I decided, I feel like I'm going to start singing, I decided long ago, but Whitney Houston there for
do
you.
Do the power hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Power grab.
That after being kind of up and down yo-yo dieting forever, that I would kind of take charge of my life. Now I'm 36 and I'm going to have a gastric band installed in just over a week's time. So as we're recording this on the 7th of April, my operation is on the 16th. And for those of you who probably think it's a waste of NHS resource, I'm paying for it myself, so screw you. the reason that I decided to, one, pay for it myself, and two, do it so soon is because had I've done it with the NHS, they would have made me jump through all sorts of different hoops. Mm-hmm. I'd have had to go to therapy, I'd have had to try and do a diet, I'd have, you know, they'd have tried to make it really, really difficult. And the wait for the NHS is between 6 months and 5 years to get this operation.
Which is crazy.
So I decided, I had the initial consultation and then booked in the operation 5 weeks later. So
It's a quick turnaround, isn't it?
It is. Now, that might sound impulsive, and I'm not an impulsive person by any stretch of the imagination. Everything is planned in advance in my life.
Yeah.
You know, to the nth degree, everything has a certain time and date that it needs to be done. Maybe I'm slightly on the spectrum there, I'm not sure. So I'd been thinking about this quite a while, and you know, going back and forth, and it was a few things, three or four things happened all at once, and I decided actually this is probably the best time to have this operation. So I broke up with my ex, Central Asian.
Central Asian correspondent.
Sergey, we can call him that now, yeah. Because we're not dating. I can call him what I like. I have a few special names, but I'm not going to use them on the podcast. And that during that relationship, I'd got to a point where I was quite comfortable with myself, mm-hmm. and I wasn't too bothered about losing weight. But he went on about it quite a lot, to the point where it gave me a bit of a thing about it again. So I went on this diet. It didn't really work out, as like all diets do. They never work out. And then we broke up, and then I've kind of ballooned. So within the within 6 months of us breaking up, I think I put on about 3.5 stone. And I kind of go through this period of going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, mm-hmm. in my life. And I thought, actually, I want to be able to restrict not being able to eat emotionally, being able to restrict how much food can go in.
Yeah.
So I'm not eating my feelings. I can actually deal with those feelings, yeah. and actually find a constructive way of sorting that problem out. Mm-hmm. I turned 36, and I've never been so unhealthy and unfit in my life. I mean, I walk all the time. I walk every day, maybe an hour, 2 hours every day. So I get my amount of steps, but it was coming home because I live on my own now. I'd be eating, you know, I'd just pop to Sainsbury's across the road and spend like 15 quid on snacks, and then have like a loaf of bread and a whole pack of ham and a whole pack of cheese and chocolate crisps and sweets every night.
It's easy to do.
Absolutely. And this isn't, by the way, this isn't woe to me for the story. This was my moment of realization that maybe I needed to do actually something seriously about this. And it was to the point where I couldn't fit in any of my clothes. The largest sizes in the shops, even in the extended range, weren't fitting. I couldn't fit in bus seats. I couldn't fit in train seats. I couldn't fit in the seats at work. My ankles were permanently swollen, so I get really bad pitididema. I've had that since I was a kid. But it just got worse and worse and worse, to the point where we have turnstiles at work, and I don't use them because I get quite a lot claustrophobic in them, but they changed the procedure, so you had to go through them. You didn't have a choice. And I just had a meltdown. Got to work, burst into tears, spent about half an hour in this room with my manager just having an emotional breakdown, basically, in the middle of the office. And it was that point that I thought, okay, I need to seriously do something about this now, because, you know, I've got the work situation sorted. I've got a nice flat. I'm doing very well. The only thing that I can't seem to deal with properly is my weight. And that's because I've never had a full. I don't know what full feels like. So everybody else has a full. I could literally, I mean, you and I have been out many, many times for unlimited food, unlimited drink.
Yeah.
I could literally spend, you know, I could drink 3 bottles of Prosecco myself and not be drunk, mm-hmm. Which is quite concerning. And then I could also eat for 2 hours constantly the free ribs and stuff that you get and the free pizza and all the rest of it. So it's just a point of, if I cannot be able to eat too much food, then from my perspective, it feels like the right thing to do.
Like, and if you can limit that.
Yeah, because that's the one thing that I find really, really difficult. And I work very, very long hours. Mm-hmm. So I get to work at 6:30 in the morning. I leave between 5 and 6:30 at night. You know, it's a 45-minute journey each way. So for me, it's like, you know, I'm out of the house 14, 15 hours a day. So I literally have time to come home, eat something and go to bed, which isn't great. And I suppose it doesn't help that I work in the supermarket head office as well, distribution centre. So that means that there's a lot of food that's reduced, you know.
So it's a lot of temptation, isn't there, around?
There is. So if I can reduce the portion sizes, then that's the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. And this surgery is, you don't lose weight very quickly once you've had the surgery. It's a gradual weight loss, and you lose between 55 and 75% of your excess fat.
Wow.
Now, before I go on to the diet, I have to shrink my liver, so I have to go on 2 weeks of liquids. So I'm just about to start week two of that. You know, I had a bit of a wobble this week on Friday. I was nearly faint, so I decided to have a soup and some bread.
Whoa.
A bit of chicken.
You've broken the rules, mate.
I know, right? And then today...
When you first said that to me, I have to say, when you said, I broke the rules, I thought you were going to be like, I had a pizza.
No. Yeah.
And I was, when you said soup, I was like, that's fine.
Well, it's not, because I'm not allowed any of those things.
No.
So I've deliberately chosen the hardest thing to do.
Right.
So when I went to see the dietitian before I had to start the diet, I said to her, I'm going to spend a week on kind of prepping, weaning myself onto this diet.
Mm-hmm.
So for a week, it's supposed to be 3 meal replacement shakes a day.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 yogurts. That's what I am allowed to have.
Okay.
So what I did was, for the first week, I did, which is a week I didn't need to do it, I was doing 2 shakes, and then I was having a normal meal. So like when you came down last time, 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. Or 2 weeks ago, when we recorded the last podcast, I'd have 2 shakes at work, and then you and I went out for dinner. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, then my last big meal to myself was a Domino's pizza, which was great. And then after that, it was like, right, that's that done now. But mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it's been easy.
No.
It's been incredibly difficult. And I think people have misunderstood, because I've lost 2.5 stone in 2 weeks, which is ridiculous. And that's only doing 1 week properly of the diet. Mm. It probably shows you how much crap I was eating before. So I think by the time I have the operation, it's probably going to be closer to 3 stone that I'll have lost in 3 weeks before I have this operation.
That's crazy.
Now, it's not, the diet isn't to lose weight, and I think people have misunderstood what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This diet is to shrink my liver, because when they do the keyhole surgery, they have to move the liver out of the way in order for them to be able to put the gastric band in place.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't do it if you've got an inflamed liver. And I had an inflamed liver anyway, because of drinking too much and the PrEP medication that I'm on also works in your liver and does my blood pressure medication, all the rest of it. This is a liver reduction diet, not a weight loss diet. And I think people have misunderstood, because I've said, look, I've lost all this weight. It's not that I've wanted to lose weight this quickly, because I don't want flappy skin.
Mm.
It's the fact that I have to go on this diet in order to be able to have the operation.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think the most difficult period is going to be the first 2 or 3 days after the operation.
Absolutely.
You know, realistically, I'm not going to be out of bed. I'm not going to be able to move. So it's going to be because I've got lots of friends coming over to look after me, and just make sure I'm all right before I then try and go back to work a week later. Everybody at work thinks I'm a bit ridiculous for trying to go back to work after a week, but it's only keyhole surgery. It's only a 30-minute operation. I don't think it should take that long to go back. So so I've lost 2.5 stone, so I should feel more energetic, but I don't, because I'm only taking in about 600 or 800 calories a day, which is probably about 1/10 of the amount of calories that I was taking in before. So things fit that haven't fit me in quite a long time.
That's a nice feeling, though, isn't it?
It is. But I'm not doing it for that. So when I went to see the surgeon for my initial consultation, he was like, "How much weight do you want to lose?" And I was like, "I'm not really bothered about that.
The number.
I'm not bothered about the number. I'd just like to fit into seats at work. I'd like to go to a shop and be able to buy a shirt or some jeans and not have to look at the very end of the rail to see if they've got my size, or order it online and click and collect it. I'd like to just be able to go out into a shop and buy some clothes." And I said, "Look, you know, it used to be really easy. I used to be able to just like not eat food for a couple of weeks and I'd drop a load of sizes and then I'd be able to." And he said, "Look, when you get to a certain age, it just slows down." He said, and he showed me kind of a diagram of, you know, if you keep dieting, this is eventually how much weight you put on, not actually how much you lose, because you don't lose any. So it's, I'm shitting myself. I'm going to pretend I'm not. I'm absolutely shitting myself. Mm-hmm. But it feels like the right thing to do, because that was rock bottom. It's like I couldn't have, It couldn't have been much worse.
Yeah.
I'd just broken up. I was trying to get over heartbreak. Work's really busy. I can't stop eating. I've no time to exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, just this whole, like, plethora of different things were all happening at the same time yeah. that made it really difficult for me to do anything.
Mm. You've had a real hard time of it recently.
I have.
And I think, I have. You know...
I mean, a lot of it is my own... All of it is my own fault, not a lot of it. All of it is, I made those decisions and I did those things myself. So I fully accept that it's my fault. However, when you're in it, it's difficult to see the wood for the trees to see how you can change yeah. this situation.
But clearly, like, well, two things. One, you had a moment of clarity and now you're doing something about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which yeah. can only be applauded and is something that you should feel proud of yourself for doing.
Yeah.
And secondly, nothing that was ever worth having... I'm going to turn into Freud again. But nothing that was ever worth having is it comes about easily. You know, like...
Oh, absolutely.
It's
hard
work, yeah, isn't it? You know, hard work.
I think people only see the tip of the iceberg in your life, don't they? And
totally.
They think that you've had that all the time. Yeah, absolutely.
They 100%. See, you know, the perception that you put yourself online or when you're, you know, out with, like, maybe not necessarily friends, more like, you know, acquaintances, however, and they're like, oh, he's got it made. Beautiful flat, dead good job. But actually, like, there's all those things that go around that that make you who you are.
Mm.
And at the same time, there is nothing wrong in trying to better yourself physically, emotionally, you know, spiritually.
And I think what helps is the conversation that you and I had earlier actually really made me think a lot when we were... wandering around before I had a salad. I would never have ordered a salad ever before.
What is this?
It was when you said about, you know, it's like you're avoiding yourself and you're chasing all these other stuff, like you're chasing the job, you're chasing the flat, you're chasing men, you're chasing, you know, to the point where you have all that and then you're like, I'm still not happy, but why?
Yeah. Mate, the chasing men bit, is like me from age 17 to 20.
You have to think, when did I meet my husband?
When did I meet Jack? 22. I went from like boy to boy to boy to boy to boy. And I never addressed. And I say boy because they mostly were. But like, you know.
Same, preach.
Preach. I never addressed the like what actually it was that I was looking for.
And I always put weight on when I'm dating, a lot, really quickly. And I think because my friend Carol said to me, when I date, I turn into a bit of a mug and I don't want to be that. And that's exactly what I turn into. I'm like, it's like I'm grateful for their attention.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
No, I know what you mean.
But I don't know why I act like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really weird.
I know exactly what you mean. Because it's like, oh, I'm so pleased that this... really attractive person wants to be with me, and then you just like you'll do whatever they want.
Yeah,
spend money on them, go where they want.
Yeah,
put your own feelings second.
100%.
Yeah, I'm still like that a little bit now, and I'm married.
Yeah,
I think it's very easy to be like, oh well, they want to do that, and actually, I'm not really bothered with what I want to do, so I'll just do what they want. But I think that can set a dangerous precedent.
And I think it's also very easy to criticise other people.
Oh, and yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, you know, it's just, it's all come at the right time. And it was terrible at the beginning of this year. Mm. An awful, awful start to the year. Regardless of having this nice place and a good job and all the rest of it and the members club and the knit letters and all that stuff. All that stuff's kind of... irrelevant and insignificant compared to kind of being centered with yourself. It's really weird, isn't it? I spent all this time getting all the stuff that I wanted that now I figured out actually maybe I just wanted to be a bit happier in myself. And I think this is on a step on a kind of journey to get to that point, as it were. I'm not even going to pretend it's going to be easy. It's going to be awful.
It's going to be hard work.
Oh, God, I'm dreading it. But.
Sure it is. But you've taken the first step.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've paid your money.
I have, and it was very expensive. It cost a lot of money.
You know, the northerner in me, and I assume the northerner in you is like, I've paid for it, but I'm having it now.
But my sister said to me, how much money do you spend a month on food?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
I mean, we could go out on a Saturday and do a unlimited bottomless brunch vibe thing, be like 40 quid each. But you might do that every Saturday.
Yes. No, I do that every Saturday. Yeah.
But, like, you know, for me, when I come down, that's like what we do. So that maybe like once a month for me. But obviously you live here and you have friends here, so you do that more often.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And that's, you know, 160 quid a month that you probably won't be spending now.
Which is more than the actual payment.
Exactly.
So yeah, that makes sense.
There you go. Like, you've paid yourself back.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it's like money that you didn't even know you had.
Exactly.
Like when you get a tax rebate. And you're like, oh, great, free money. But actually, you've paid that.
Yeah, you're like, this is just money that I've paid. The government has taken from me too much.
Yeah, I know they're giving me back, but it's almost like a gift. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think I'm talking bullshit.
But... No, you're not. So the next time I see you and the next time I record is going to be after the operation. I have a question for you, Lucy.
Amazing. Come.
It's now the 7th of April.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel... Mm-hmm. to not be in the European Union anymore.
So, obviously we are still in the European Union. That's one thing I do know. So on Friday, just gone, my lovely pal and I met for a cup of tea. We definitely didn't meet for a cup of tea. Met for a pint.
Okay.
And he brought someone with him that we went to college with.
Yep.
He'd come up to visit for the weekend. And I hadn't seen Phil, the guy from college, for probably about 6 years.
Okay.
So it was lovely to, like, have a catch-up. Job, my other friend, I see probably once a week. Still nice to see him, but, you know, nice to see Phil, catch up and find out what's going on with him and, you know. And bear in mind, you know, the conversation will always turn to politics at some point because Joe is a... history and politics teacher and head of a politics department at sixth form, and I don't actually understand what Phil's job is, but it's highfalutin. So we're having a big
like
old...
Chandler, it's something to do with numbers.
Yeah, transponder.
Transponst in sponding.
And that was kind of the vibe I had. So we were in this pub in Leeds, Copper Bridge, not the nice one by Kirkstall. It's not far from Hawks.
I thought you meant the crap gay pub.
Oh, no.
In the city centre. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Why would you be going in there during the day?
It's like on the corner of, it's like Horsforth here and then at Hawksworth. It's like it's on the corner. It was not great. And so the conversation naturally turned to politics and to Brexit. And while I feel like I keep on top of the news, I probably don't understand it in the granular, minute detail to the level that maybe they did.
Sure.
And it sort of got to a point in their conversation where I could just feel myself like, I think I need to start taking notes. I need to read all these articles. What are they even talking about? I don't even know. So, because you, my love, are like Brexit correspondent in our friendship.
I am slightly obsessed with politics and Brexit. Yes.
I would love to know if you have any recommendations on like good resources that I might not already think about. Check Twitter, try and read The Guardian.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. But I would, yeah.
My favourite Brexit podcasts are the BBC's Brexit Cast.
Okay.
With Katia Adler.
Oh, yeah.
Laura Koonsberg and the two guys who I don't know because they can like B plot B actors in
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they are merchant talk.
It's very very good. Although it feels a bit like Carry On Brexit, to be honest.
I mean, I think it does in general, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean the BBC's gone very lowbrow over recent years. Remaniacs podcast, which is very very good.
You've mentioned that before, and I've not checked it out. I should.
The New European.
Oh, that's
Brexit
the
podcast. Yeah, they do a Brexit podcast and it's excellent.
Right.
FT Politics, which comes out on a Saturday morning, which is really, really good.
Okay.
And Talking Politics, which
I
is also
it.
Very good.
I knew you'd be able to help me.
Yeah. Also, there's some really good American ones. So The Daily did one about Theresa May the other day. And Vox do one called Today Explained. And they did a really good kind of timeline of Brexit and how we got to this point. It's really, really interesting. I mean, a lot of those, as you would imagine, being a gay man living in the big city, a fairly left-wing liberal.
I mean, that's the side I want to know about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you want to hear it from the other side, then you could probably listen to the Telegraph's Brexit podcast, or that's the only one I know. I'm not going to pretend to know anything else.
You could probably listen to that. Yeah. Maybe some other ones, but I'm not interested.
I mean, I tend to avoid The Guardian because The Guardian is very left-wing on it. I tend to not really pay much attention to the news on it because the BBC's... The BBC's whole Brexit kind of reporting is terrible. It's kind of like, you know, if Brexit were chocolate, what kind of chocolate would Brexit be? It's like that really.
What are we learning
it's
from
this big like issue, and they turn it into this tiny, tiny little insignificant thing, as it were. So I don't think you're unusual in not knowing what Brexit is because we all have, or what the latest thing is with it because we're all busy.
Yeah, totally. Just,
I am obsessed with it, though, to the point where I can't help myself.
I know. Well, that's sort of what they were like. And it was like, yeah, but what about this treaty? And yeah, what about this precedent? And blah.
Well, this woman at work started ranting about Brexit one morning. And she was like, oh, honestly, they're trying to force us to stay in. I was like, oh, okay, I wonder which side of the argument you're on, dear. And she was like, and this other girl walked in, and she, when she knew we were talking about Brexit, her face just dropped, right? And she was like, well, you know, we pay the most into the EU, and, you know, they're just taking our money. I was like, we don't, actually. What do you mean we don't? We do. I was like, no, we don't. I was like, we pay the fourth largest into the EU. I was like, it's Germany, France, Italy, and then us. I was like, and... You know, we get £1 billion rebate every year. I was like, so we actually don't pay as much as the rest of the European Union do. And it's based per capita and per how much disposable income your kind of citizens have. And she was like, oh. I was like, so I don't know whether you've read that online, The Express or The Mail. I was like, but that's not true. And then, you know, when you second guess yourself and you're like, have I just regurgitated something left-wing that I've read, like, on The Guardian or The Huffington Post? So I went to this, like, fact-checking website, and it was absolutely true.
Good.
And I was like, phew, like...
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. I am definitely going to check out this podcast.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the recommendations.
That's right.
I really, really appreciate it.
So what's it like being alone most of the day now, your husband, because you're a freelancer, aren't you? So it's just you and, is this why you got the cat? Is this because you didn't want to be?
Well, I mean, Jack works from home, so that's quite nice, actually.
Okay.
But I've sort of, we have a spare bedroom that is like the office.
The office, nice.
Where he usually works, but okay. I've taken that over now.
Nice. I like it.
Nice. I mean, like, sort of get up in the morning, have a cup of tea, and I'll say, right, I'm going to work now, and I'll go upstairs and go into the office.
He's so middle class.
I love it.
He's so middle class. It's ridiculous.
This is such a far cry from my childhood and upbringing. But it's the best. Genuinely, having
that. Did you see your granddad work down the mines?
My granddad was a miner, yeah.
So your granddad comes out with a pasty, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to sit in my office
at home. I'm just going to go to the office. Yeah. Well, speaking of my granddad, I have a funny story to tell you. So he, for a long time, worked at the potash mine near Whitby, and he was a demolition man, so when they would like blow up the next bit, you know, to go and mine the potash, but my granddad's job was to, you know, do that, but then also make sure there was no like gas and you know.
Okay.
One very important thing to know about my granddad is that he does not have a sense of smell.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
why would somebody give that job to somebody who can't?
Yeah, they'd say
smell.
Ah, Ian, bit of a smell, isn't there? And it'd be like, I, yeah.
Wow. Okay. I mean, wow.
Thankfully, he's been retired for about 20 years. But yeah.
Otherwise, the whole of the Northeast is going up in smoke.
Yeah. So that's my granddad. So you know, that, I've definitely had a very working class upbringing, and now my life is very different.
And how is freelance working out?
Freelancing is going really well.
Good.
I've been reading this book called Company of One, which is written by a man called Paul Jarvis, and he basically talks about being a sort of a business owner or a freelancer, and ways to work efficiently and to work cleverly, and you know, to kind of do the thing that big businesses try to do, but they end up having to, you know, go through hoops of like, oh, we've got to get this approved by the legal department, and will my line manager approve this? You know, that make things take longer and add more time and unnecessary tasks. And
yes.
Which I'm sure you will.
My life, yes.
And also my life and my other job.
Cumbersome, unnecessarily so.
Yeah, totally. And so this book is really cool, actually. I'm only about a third of the way through it. But I was reading it on my way over here today. And there's just a couple of lines in it about, like, there's a... What he's ended up doing, which I find only in, like, Canada and America is this a thing that people feel confident enough to do. But he was so in demand, he put his rates up and up and up and up so that he had the... You know, his rates were at a certain level that the people who really wanted to work with him would work with him. So he had, like, demand plus a smidge because they were willing to pay this amount of money.
Wow.
Rather than, like, being at a sort of lower level, probably, like, a more reasonable level, and having, like, contacts coming out of his arse. But he would never be able to get all that work done. And it was more about doing that job himself.
Yeah.
At a rate that he was like, no, I deserve this. And if people want to work with me, they'll pay it. So that he could, you know, keep going.
That's clever.
Rather than, like, hiring somebody else to...
Yeah, I really like that.
And I was like, holy shit, I would never have thought that.
No.
I said, wait, you know, if someone said, I really want to work with you, but I was, you know, was too busy, I would just apologise for being too busy. I wouldn't say, well, actually, if you pay me, like, 3 times my day rate, I can make it work. Do you know what? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
It really, like, floored me, and I've been thinking about it since.
No, it's really clever.
I'm just
like pulling this face. One, because I'm hungry, and my brain, my cognitive function has stopped. Yes. And two, because that actually is a really, really good idea.
Isn't it such a good point?
Absolutely excellent idea. Yeah.
So with that in mind, freelancing is going well.
How much are you charging me for this?
I'll send you my invoice later on. But I've gone, and then you can find out how much it is.
Yeah.
So. So I've got a couple of weeks of work coming up from the note, which I'm very excited about. Nice. And then I actually had a job interview this week.
For a
permanent job.
Wow, okay.
So that sentence of, yes, freelancing is going well, and however I've had a job interview, is kind of like my life in a nutshell of wanting to kind of do everything. And I know that's not possible.
Yeah.
There's a company in Leeds who approached me, and the...
That's nice, isn't it?
It's very nice. And the role that they're looking to fill is one that I think I could do a really good job of, and it's something that I think, if it all goes well, then, you know, I'd have a real big decision to make.
Okay.
So I'm just sort of looking forward to seeing what happens, really.
Nice.
And it would be a big pay, you know. It would mean not being able to do any freelance work.
And it would also mean being able to take me out for lunch every time we come to the
lunch. Yeah. But you only order a small plate now anyway, so...
Oh, no, it's pathetic, isn't it? I'm a kid's posh and I'm on Happy Meals going forward.
Cheap date.
So, well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. And well done to you. Job.
Thank you. Before we get to what you and I have learned this month...
Sure.
At the end of the last pod, we were talking about our sleepover.
Oh, yeah!
And how I live in a studio.
Yes.
And you came to stay because I have a sofa bed. I was very grateful to have you here.
I was very grateful for you too.
Thank you. It's nice because I live alone, so and I work a lot. So I don't see a lot of people throughout the week unless it's people at work. Now, you were warned about the snoring, and you were warned that when I say goodnight, I immediately fall asleep.
Yes.
How was it?
Genuinely, it was fine. But there are two things...
However.
I need to explain. The first is, I kind of thought, when you say goodnight and then I'm asleep, It's like, that's probably like 10 minutes after, you know. I can fall asleep quite quickly. But that was on another level. You were like, night, Luce. And then all of a sudden I heard... And I was like, what? Is this a joke? Like, no way has he been able to fall asleep that quickly. I'm genuinely jealous, even though I'm already a quite fast, you know, person to fall asleep. But the snoring wasn't... Like, you definitely prepared me for it, I would say that. I didn't feel like... Oh, this is way too loud, and I wasn't expecting it to
be. But it is loud, right?
But it is loud.
I mean, I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know, because I'm saying when I snore...
And I immediately go into a deep sleep. So I it's only when I'm in a light sleep do I hear it sometimes, like, what the hell is that? Not? Oh, wait, that's me.
That's me. Okay. Yeah. Well, that happens to me as well. I've been known to snore, especially when I sleep on my back.
Or drink.
Or have a drink,
yeah,
exactly.
Same. No, that's not more, sorry.
Yeah. Louder and heavier. Yes. But what I did notice...
Story of my life.
Not anymore. What I did notice was that after about 20 minutes, half an hour, the snoring, the, like, level of snore kind of stopped, and it was just, like, heavy breathing, sleeping sounds. And I was cool with that.
Yeah.
That was absolutely fine. Not a problem at all.
I don't think you believed how quickly I got to sleep.
I think, and I also probably didn't, you did prepare me for the level of snore, but only when you hear it do you know, like, what exactly that is. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, I could say to you, look, you have to just wait until you hear this, honestly, you won't believe it until you hear it. But I was like, yeah, I'll be fine, I'll be totally fine. And then the next thing I knew, I was like, I'm not fine. I'm not fine for this half an hour. And then it was half an hour, and I was like, oh, yeah, fine. And then I was off to sleep. But I, you know, I listened to a podcast, or, you know, have some,
I mean, you were warned. That's
some kind of sound going on anyway. So yeah.
Now you understand why I wouldn't let my most current boyfriend stay the night for quite a few times after we first met, because I wanted him to come back again. And one night after he did stay, I woke up in the middle of the night and he had the pillow wrapped around his head. And it was like, what is that noise? I was like, honestly, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Oh, poor lad.
So, well, no, he's, you know. Extra reasons, so, pff, I mean, screw him. If he doesn't like it, he doesn't like it.
Yes.
As we're coming to the end of the pod, and we've been... This is the longest pod we've done.
I think it is.
We spent a lot of time talking about my operation.
Well, I think it needs the time devoted to it.
Thank you. So, as we are approaching the end of the pod...
Indeed.
What hath you learned this month?
Well...
About Fortnite.
Fortnite, yeah, I know. So, I have learned... So, where are we now? On Thursday last week, Jack and I went to Salford to a comedy gig.
Nice.
Which... I had been looking forward to it for ages, but I totally forgot it was happening.
Costa del Salford, I believe.
Costa del Salford, yeah. And it was absolutely tipping it down. Typical Manchester
weather, yeah.
So we went to see Mark Maron, who is an American podcaster. I would highly recommend his WTF pod.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, it's really, really good. So he's also a comedian by trade. And he was doing a bit of a UK tour. And okay. I've always wanted to see him. He normally just does a London date, like once a year. But always tends to fall on a date that I just can't make it work. So when I saw that he was coming up to Salford, I thought, well, perfect. I've got, this is going to be great. So put tickets and we went. And because he's like a bit of a novelty, like, oh, fairly big American comedian, he's come to the UK, he's gonna, you know, he was on like BBC Breakfast talking about his gig.
All right.
He's been on like Virgin, Chris Evans Radio.
Virgin Radio.
Radio show. Well, I don't know why I said that in such a backwards way.
And I was like, Virgin Radio, yeah.
Yeah, he's on Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Chris Evans talking about the tour. And then he also did Afternoon Edition on 5 Live with Nihal. I don't know if you've
I am. When he was on Radio 1, I found him a bit irritating, if I'm honest. Mm. He has a really big chin. Yeah. And he has that beard that makes his chin look bigger.
Like that's
in my
chin.
Humble opinion. Yeah. Like, it's not, like, that's not really a beard. Like, my beard is to give me a jawline.
Yeah, sure.
My sister said when I was 21, You're a gay man. Give yourself a jawline. Okay, you're a bear already. You're going to have a difficult time. Have a jawline. Yeah, my sister is like...
Your sister is...
She's awesome.
I love your sister.
Awesome, awesome.
So, Marc Maron went on to Nihal, the health show, the little interview spot. And the interview was insane.
Really?
So, Marc Maron has a history of, like, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. He's, like, teetotal.
Oh, wow, clean. Okay.
It's, like, 20 years. But he started, Nihal started the interview with like, so, what was it like to be a drug addict? What was it like? Are you a sociopath? Like, just like not an interview, you know, more like a sort of probe and wow. Not the nice kind. And
like when Piers Morgan's interviewing people.
Yeah, like just straight in there, straight for the jugular. None of this like, oh, so you're coming, you know. The sort of radio interview that you probably want to hear is like, you come into Salford, tell me about your tour, tell me what you're going to talk about, tell me about your podcast, you know, those kind of like things. But he sort of took it in a really weird way. It was just insane. But what I've learned from that and what I've learned from people like Marc Maron is that he doesn't stand for any shit. So when he was asked all these awkward questions and weird questions about himself, he just politely answered in a way that was like, this is my response.
Now fuck you.
Yeah, now piss off. I can't believe you've even dared ask me this question.
Yeah.
He could be prickly, I think, is probably the way that he would put it. Oh,
people have compared me, Jonathan, who used to be our session manager, was like, you're a bit prickly, aren't you? Like, I'm going to take that as a good thing.
Yeah, I think you know who you are and you know what you will and you won't stand for.
I don't suffer fools, that's for sure. And my poor team, I have a very large team and they know not to come with stupid questions.
Yeah. And my sort of takeaway from all that was I would probably bend over backwards to be like, oh, you know, and like, you know, really open up about something like that if I was in that kind of interview setup or whatever. But you don't have to do that. You know, you have to just be... who you are, don't take any shit, don't suffer fools gladly. And I think, yeah, fair enough, he is a white man of a certain privilege, but the fact that he can do that makes me feel like, well, actually, if I'm ever in that situation, I can do that, because why shouldn't I?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I think, I'm known for being quite assertive, I think, in life, but... When I was saying yes to people all the time, people just took advantage and I never got opportunities or promoted or whatever. Other people stole my ideas and
I've been there.
And then they're doing really well. So I stopped doing that after a while, as it were. But I have to have a listen out for that podcast.
Yeah. The WTF one is excellent. The Nihal one, probably not so great. And he tweeted after it. It's not really related, but he tweeted after it like, that was an awkward interview, but I really enjoyed it. But like, he made it awkward. What a...
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, to be honest with you.
Anyway, so what have you learned this month?
I've learned this month that being nice to people really does pay off in the long run, and people can absolutely surprise you. So I, as you know, I'm very generous to a fault, actually. I tend to... You know, whenever you come to my flat, I'm like, here's a load of beer, here's a load of hand wash, here's a load of dishwasher tablets, here's some food, here's this, you know, and you're like, all right, okay. You know, friends, here's books, here's money, I'm going to, you know, buy you dinner and all the rest of it. Which I don't think is such a bad thing. But when you've done that with certain people and they've taken advantage before, and then years later, people who, you know, my ex who had, we dated for 4 years, really surprised me when I was going in for this operation. Because I said, look, I'm going to have this operation. I'm really concerned that I'm going to come home. I'm on my own. You know, I don't have somebody who can just come and look after me, as it were. Would you mind coming after the operation and just coming home with me? Because at that time, I thought it was in London. The operation is actually in Birmingham. And he said... don't be silly. I'm going to be there with you from the moment you arrive to the moment you leave. And I was just like, oh.
So lovely.
Which is really nice. So he's taken the day off to come and see me. And then obviously Anna is going to come up on the morning the day before, and then we've got a hotel, and then she's going to stay in the hospital with me until we then come back with my wonderful friend Petya, whom I go walking with quite a lot, who's just lost a shit ton of weight as well. So I suppose I don't rely on people very often. So for me, it's just learning that people can absolutely surprise you in many, many ways, as it were.
I think it's a nice, you know, when you have this idea in your head of, well, actually, I'm on my own, but so what am I going to do? And then you turn to people and they're like, well, yeah, of course, you know. Like, it shouldn't it? To them, it's not even a question.
Yeah, and I suppose if you were to ask me, like, when you said to me, Aaron, can I come and stay at your flat? I was just like, of course you can.
Yeah,
there is no...
You barely skipped a beat.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. And then you were like, you asked me 4 or 5 times, like, are you sure it's okay?
Yeah.
I'm still coming tonight.
But it's the same. Like,
is it okay?
Obviously, yours is on a bigger scale, but, like, you know...
Well, no, it's the same principle.
It's the same, exactly. You know, you...
I was just like, the only warning is...
the cafe is just... But I think it's nice for you to realise actually how loved and cared for and...
Yeah. It's the last few months have been an emotional readjustment, let's say.
Yeah.
Same. Yes. Yes. I'm enjoying doing this podcast with you because I feel like this is our moment of Freud every month.
Oh, it totally is.
This is our little counselling session every month.
We're accountable now because we put it out there.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And my cousin messaged me the other day and said, oh, I love listening to your podcast. It's really nice. And I was like, oh, my God, you just listen to my mummy issues every month. Like, just wait until she listens to it.
Oh, just dun, you wait.
Dun, dun. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well. At least, hopefully after the wedding.
Just you wait.
Right.
Just you wait.
Well, this has been the longest pod we've done.
It certainly is.
Hopefully you've enjoyed it. The honesty, because we are nothing but honest.
We are nothing but honest. We're very... Yeah. Northern and not with our honesty.
I was just going to say, it's a northern thing, is that?
Yeah.
I think you come down south and you realise that people are not as open about stuff.
Mm.
And where I live, there's a DLR station there. And I got the last DLR home one night after being out for dinner with a friend not so long ago. And as I was coming out, these two guys from Yorkshire got in the lift. And the lift was completely full. And they were like, oh, what's wrong with people from London? Oh, they're just not very nice. They don't even smile. And I said, well, I said, I'm from Yorkshire as well. He's like, oh, another northerner. Oh. I was like, yeah. I said, the reason why you don't smile at people on the tube or say hi to them is because generally that means you're going to be stuck with a crazy person
who
won't shut up until the end of the journey. And he was like, oh, I was like, but not you. Like, these two drunk guys didn't get punched in the face. I was like, I don't mean you. I was like, that's why.
That's why. Hi, I'm a crazy person for this journey. I'm really great to see you.
Yeah, and I'm going to follow you home. So on that wonderful note.
Oh, amazing.
Just very quickly before we go, I'm going to tell you a very, very quick story. My friend Anna and I went for a walk from my flat to Stratford, and she said to me, are you dreaming about food?
Mm.
And I turned to her and I said, of course I'm fucking dreaming about food. I haven't had solid food for a week. What are you talking about? And then she turned to me and she went, are you a bit hangry? I was like, of course I'm fucking hangry. I'm hallucinating about food and I haven't eaten for a week. So who knows what I'll be like by the time you see me.
I'm so excited to see you after the operation.
That's why thin people are so mean. It's because they're so hungry all the time.
You know that, is it Kate Moss thing where it's like, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, which is one bullshit.
Yeah.
I think...
Yeah. Cheeseburger. Pizza.
Yeah.
Chinese.
Indian.
Curry.
Oh my God. I know. I'm starving just thinking about all those things, so I can't imagine it must fail.
I've got another shake in 3 hours. Yay.
Yay.
I'm in heaven now.
But what I will say...
Like Chandler when he's giving up smoking in Friends.
Just covered in patches. What I will say, though, is that I think what you're doing is very brave and you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you.
And you've taken a very positive step into... the future.
Yes.
And I am right behind you.
Thank you. And if you want to join me on this journey, I've started an Instagram page. I tried to keep it quiet and I didn't share it with anybody. And then people kept messaging me on Instagram going, is this you? Is this you? This looks like your beard. Is that you in the picture? So if you want to see my progression, warts and all, then just look on Instagram under @previouslyfat. Go on, you take the floor on this because you want to say it. Go on.
I don't think it's a fantastic name.
However,
well, two things. However, you tell your off. Absolutely, I can't even begin to tell you how brilliant it is. So, only the woman who's had the same similar procedure.
Yeah, so I follow this gastric band hashtag on Instagram, and one of the women who's had the operation is called.
She's called. That's what she shared.
That's what she shared.
Shushy, and that is flipping fantastic.
Amazing.
Just can't make her. It would take creative teams months and months and months to come up with something like that.
Yeah.
And she's done that for herself, which I think can only be applauded. Also, what I was going to say is, you didn't tell me about this page either. And I was scrolling through Instagram and it came up with like your profile picture is like your chin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like your mouth and your chin. And I was like, is that it? And I went on it and I was like, oh, that's it, I'm totally following this. So I obviously followed you and then I texted you. And you were like, oh, you found me.
One of my friends messaged me and said, I know that ginger beard anyway. And my other friend just sent a message to me going, Aaron? ? I was like, yes, that's me. Aww. And then just as the week's gone on, quite a few people have, I think I've only told my sister and Anna about it. Because I was like, can you believe all these people are finding my blah, 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 blah. So, at Previously Fat. If you want to message us, tweet us, Instagram us, whatever, your method of choice for social media, are we going to get the email address?
Let me try.
And the Instagram correct this month. Go ahead,
so
take
Twitter
it away.
Twitter and Instagram is @fancyabrewpod.
Excellent, well done.
And the email address is fancyabrewpod@gmail.com.
You've been practicing that, I like it. And my personal account is @AaronTrains.
Yes, and mine is Lucy Duffield on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also find me on Instagram as Little Leeds Kitchen, which is like a little food blog that I run.
So we've been ranting for about an hour now. So this is going to be a fun edit for me. This is payback for you doing the last two. Thank you. And we will catch you again in a month when I'll be a mean, thin, angry, skinny bitch. And Lucy will be having a brew, no doubt, and we'll be talking about our parent issues.
Absolutely.
And being northern.
That's what you join us for.
Goodbye.
Bye.